Revelation chapter 12. As we continue this journey through the Bible, tonight we'll be studying the 12th chapter. This morning we want to look at verse 11. As we read in verse 9 that Satan is cast out of heaven, and the warning to those that are the inhabitants of the earth at that time, because Satan has been cast out, he knows he has but a short time, but he's called there the accuser of the brethren that accuses them before the Lord day and night. And then in verse 11, and they, those that have been accused by Satan, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. We are in a war. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, the weapons of our warfare. So the acknowledgement that there is a war that is going on. And in this war, God has equipped us the weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds of the enemy. It is a spiritual battle that we are going through. It was a war that actually began elsewhere, but was brought to the planet Earth. It was a war that began in prehistoric times, sometime back before man was created. One of the chief angels rebelled against God, and the war began. Ezekiel tells us about this rebellion. He said, the Lord said, Son of man, take up your lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, who is really representing Satan here, and say to him, thus saith the Lord God, you were the sum total of perfection. You were full of wisdom. You were perfect in beauty. And you have been in Eden, the garden of God, and every precious stone adorned you. The sardis, topaz, diamond, and he names the special stones. You were the anointed cherub, and I have set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God, and you've walked up and down into the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you. Isaiah tells us what that iniquity was. He writes in chapter 14, how have you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? You've been cut down to the ground because you weakened the nations. For you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And thus, the rebellion in the exercise of Satan's will against the will of God. And that basically is what sin is all about. It is not yielding to the will of God or disobedience to the will of God. Exercising my will above God's will for my life. That was the beginning of the rebellion. It's a battle of good versus evil, light versus darkness, God versus Satan. Now, when God created man and placed him upon this planet, the battle scene moved to the earth. And now the major battles are being fought here on the planet Earth. And interestingly enough, man is the prize in this battle. The question was, given the freedom of choice, will man choose to live in obedience to God and thus live in the kingdom of God, or will he join in Satan's rebellion against God and live in the kingdom of Satan? Satan is doing his very best by force and by power to bring you in subjection unto him and to his kingdom. Whereas God, rather than using force, has chosen to use love and to woo you into his kingdom through love. But the battle rages, and there are many who have succumbed to Satan's powers and have yielded to Satan and have become a part of his kingdom of darkness. But others have yielded to God's love, and they've become citizens, as Paul said, of the kingdom of God. But when Satan came to Adam and Eve there in the garden, they had their choice. Do they obey God, who had given to them so freely of all things, or do they believe the lie of Satan and rebel against the orders of God not to eat of that tree? And tragically for mankind, Adam and Eve chose to obey the suggestions of Satan. They ate of the tree that God had commanded them not to eat, and they left the kingdom of God, and they moved into the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness, and subsequently, all of the descendants of Adam were born in sin, shapen in iniquity. Their spirit was dead. They naturally desired to live after the flesh because the spirit was dead. When Adam sinned, his spirit died, and he thus lost his place in the kingdom of God. For God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And if a person is living after the flesh, he cannot please God. With his spirit dead, man became as an animal. He possessed a body. He possessed a consciousness. But there was no spirit. It was dead. And thus he lived as an animal who has a body and who has consciousness, but does not have that awareness or obedience to God. The Bible tells us that the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit, neither can he know them. They are spiritually discerned. Paul tells us that the mind, the carnal mind, is enmity against God. And so man in this warfare found himself aligned with Satan in the kingdom of darkness. But it was God's desire by love to woo him from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light, into God's kingdom. And for this purpose, God sent his only begotten Son into the world to declare to us the glory of God's kingdom, the blessings, the joy, the peace that one can have when they deny themselves and take up their cross to follow him. He assured us that life doesn't exist in the abundance of the things that a man possesses, that the material world can never bring you true satisfaction. You can only know that when you yield and surrender your life unto the will of the Father, and that God loves you, and that God's plans for your life are the best thing that could ever happen to you. And thus, he sought to tell us of the Father's love and the Father's concern for his children that had gone astray. Jesus came to wage war against Satan. He was termed in the scriptures as the second Adam. The first Adam failed. He lost the war. The second Adam came to fight against the forces of darkness in order to bring victory and the way of victory unto man, that man might be able to escape the kingdom of darkness, to be delivered from the power of Satan, and to come into the kingdom of God. Jesus fought the battle and he won, and Satan was defeated by him. Now, here is something that is often misunderstood. It's quite a twist. And that is, the real battleground and the real battle was concerning the cross. You see, Jesus came to do the will of the Father. And the will of the Father was that he die on the cross. That was God's will. Satan knew that that was God's will for his son. And thus, Satan did his best to keep Jesus from the cross. Now, people generally think, well, Satan put Jesus on the cross, and men inspired by Satan, you know, came to Pilate and, you know, sort of forced the crucifixion of Jesus. Not so. Satan did everything he could to keep Jesus from going to the cross. Peter, talking about the cross in Acts chapter 2, said, "And you, according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, have crucified and slain." It was God's will that Jesus go to the cross to pay the price of redemption for mankind. Satan tried to destroy Jesus shortly after his birth. Herod ordered the death of all of the babies 2 years and under in the area of Bethlehem, as Satan was trying to destroy Jesus before he even had a chance to grow up. However, Joseph, being warned by the angel in a dream, went to Egypt with Mary and with the child, so they escaped the edict of Herod. Satan tried to deter Jesus from the cross when he was tempting Jesus and took him to the high mountain, showed him the kingdoms of the world, offered them to him. "All of these will I give to you, and the glory of them, for they are mine. I can give them to whomever I will. I'll give them to you if you'll just bow down and worship me." Again, he was trying to circumvent the cross. He knew that Jesus had come to die on the cross to redeem the world, but he knew that the cross was not a pleasant thing to look forward to. The Bible tells us concerning Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, though he despised the shame. And Satan is saying, you don't have to endure the cross. You don't have to go through that despicable experience. I'll give you the kingdoms now without the cross, without the will of God. Follow my will. Bow down and worship me, and I'll give them to you without the cross. He tried to destroy Jesus when Jesus began his public ministry in Nazareth. As Jesus proclaimed himself to the people in the synagogue that he was the Messiah, they took him to the precipice that is there in Nazareth and were going to throw him over the cliff. Satan was trying to destroy him at the beginning of his ministry before he could ever get to the cross. When Jesus was acknowledged by the disciples to be the Messiah, he began at that time to tell them how that he was going to go to Jerusalem. He would be given over to the Gentiles and they would crucify him, but the third day he would rise again. And Peter began to rebuke him, saying, Lord, spare yourself. Shame on you. Be that far from thee. And Jesus turned and rebuked Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me. He recognized that the cry, spare yourself from the cross, was the cry of hell. Satan was doing his best to keep Jesus from the cross. When Jesus was crossing the Sea of Galilee with his disciples, and he was in the back part of the ship asleep, Satan tried to destroy him again by raising up a storm and sinking the ship in the Sea of Galilee. And the disciples came back and they cried out, Master, don't you care if we die? And you remember Jesus stood up and he rebuked the winds and the waves. Now that word rebuked is the same that was used when Jesus rebuked the evil spirits. Satan had brought up that storm attempting to destroy Jesus so he couldn't go to the cross. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, the fierce battle of the ages was waged. As Satan was still trying to keep Jesus from the cross, the battle became so severe that Jesus began to sweat great drops of blood falling to the ground as he prayed, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but thy will be done. You see, Jesus is acknowledging that it is the will of the Father that he go to the cross. And there, in this battle between his own desires and the will of the Father, not what I will, thy will be done. And again he prayed, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But if it cannot pass except I drink it, thy will be done. The third time he prayed, and there was the commitment. Surrendering the will to the Father. So that when he came back to his disciples and found them asleep again, he said, sleep on. The hour has come when the Son of Man is to be betrayed. Judas led the soldiers and the officers from the high priest into the garden. And as Peter and the disciples awoke, Peter took his sword and began to swing as he would seek to defend Jesus from being arrested and from going to the cross. And Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Peter, put away your sword. The cup that the Father has given me to drink, shall I not drink it?" The commitment to the will of the Father. The battle was over. The rest of the events were just sort of the mopping up operations, because the heart was determined to do the will of the Father. And thus the victory over Satan, not yielding to his temptations, not yielding to obedience to his suggestions, but choosing rather to take the path of the cross in obedience to the Father, the victory over Satan was won by Jesus Christ. And thus, as we read in our text, they overcame him, those believers in Jesus. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb. The cross of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed upon the cross, is the sign of the victory of Jesus over Satan. He triumphed over those powers of darkness by going to the cross, submitting to the will of the Father, paying the price of redemption for the world. Satan knew that the cross of Jesus Christ would spell his defeat, that through the shed blood, the price of redemption would be paid. And so Paul wrote to the Colossians that Jesus disarmed the powers and authorities of darkness, and he made a public spectacle of them as he triumphed over them by the cross. Jesus hanging on the cross signifies his victory over the temptations of Satan and yielding rather to the will of the Father. And as we said, that's what it's all about. That's where the battle began, the exercise of Satan's will against the will of God. And that's the battle today. Satan tempting you, seeking to bring you under his authority by suggesting that you not follow the will of God, but that you find the excitement and the thrills and all by yielding to his suggestions. How does the victory of Jesus then affect us in our battle with Satan? As we read, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. His victory becomes our victory. The shed blood of Jesus Christ is the sign of our victory over Satan. Because as I choose to yield my life to Jesus Christ, he then begins to indwell me. He said to his disciples, "In that day you shall know that you are in the Father, and I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." And so Christ in me, and my being in him, is my place of victory. I am in Jesus Christ, and thus Satan has to go through him to get to me. John in his first letter said, we know that whosoever is born of God does not live in sin. For he that was begotten of God, that is Jesus, keeps him, and the wicked one cannot touch him. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding that we might know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the true God and eternal life. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, it says, and by the word of their testimony. We do bear witness and we do testify that Jesus is the Son of God and that he is the Lord of our lives. And when Satan tempts us to yield to our fleshly desires in disobedience to God, we testify that our old nature, fleshly nature, was crucified with Christ, that the body of sin would no longer rule over us, and that we are no longer to be ruled by our fleshly desires. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, for the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, that means that we were all dead. But in that he died for all, that we which live should not live unto ourselves, but unto him who died for us and who rose again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things are passed away. Everything becomes new. So I bear witness, I testify that Jesus Christ is my Lord, and that I am determined to obey him. You see, again, the battle. Am I going to obey the temptations of Satan, or am I going to obey my Lord? And whoever you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye become, whether of obedience unto sin, unto unrighteousness, or unto obedience unto Jesus Christ. So the testimony, when Satan comes along and tests and tempts, I testify of my relationship with Jesus and my desire to obey his will. And it says, they loved not their lives unto death. Christ and serving him is more important to me than life. And how this was so true in the early church, when the Roman government set themselves against the church to destroy it, and where becoming and acknowledging yourself as a Christian was a capital crime, the thousands, the hundreds of thousands of believers who gave their life for Jesus Christ, not really counting their lives dear to themselves, and they loved not their lives unto death. When Paul was on his way to Jerusalem, everywhere he was going, the Holy Spirit was warning him that bonds and imprisonment awaited him when he got there. And thus the friends of Paul were seeking to dissuade him from going. But Paul said unto them that he didn't count his life dear unto himself. None of these things, he said, really move me, because I don't count my life dear unto myself. When the friends of Paul were crying and saying, "Paul, don't go." He said, "Are you seeking to dissuade me because I'm going to be put in prison and bonds when I get there?" He said, "I'm ready not only to be bound, but to die at Jerusalem for the name of our Lord Jesus." So they loved not their lives unto death. The biggest problem that we have today is self-love. It is self. Self-desires. And Satan takes advantage of this self-life, and he encourages us to indulge ourselves in the flesh and in the things of the flesh. You don't have to follow after God. You don't have to take the path of the cross. You can have immediate fulfillment by yielding to your flesh. And that's the big battle, and that's the temptation today. But they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by looking at the cross and realizing Jesus obeyed the Father and thus won the victory. And as I am in him and he is in me, I will obey the Father. And the testimony that Jesus is my Lord, I'm determined to serve and obey him, even if it costs me my life. They love not their lives unto death. And that is the path of victory. God's victory for his people. It is the path of the cross. It is the path of self-denial. It is the path of obedience to the will of the Father. But it's a path that leads to eternal life and the joys of God's eternal kingdom. You can have victory over the world, over the flesh, and over the devil by yielding to obey Jesus Christ. He fought the battle. He won the battle. Satan is a defeated foe. He cannot exercise power over you except you allow him to do so by yielding to his temptations. But you can stand against them, and the Holy Spirit can give you the power to overcome. The victory is ours through Jesus. Father, we thank you for this glorious place of victory in and through Jesus Christ. The battle is won. The victory is ours. And so, Lord, we realize that the war still goes on. Satan comes to us day by day with his alluring temptations, trying to draw us away from you. But Lord, we thank you for the victory of the cross. And through that, we can overcome. And Lord, we make our confession and our witness that Jesus Christ is our Lord, and we won it that way. Thank you, Lord, for the victory that we have in and through him. Lord, for those today who are struggling, Satan's sort of aligned his forces against them. The temptations are very strong. Lord, we're weak. We realize that we don't have it within ourselves to overcome. And so, Lord, we cast ourselves upon you. Fill us, Lord, with your Spirit. Give us the power, Lord, to know your victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? pastors are down here in the front this morning to minister to you. If you find that in this battle, Satan has sort of taken advantage and you've been defeated, we want you to know that today it can be reversed. The Bible says, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And through the power of Jesus Christ, his victory, through the witness and the testimony of our determination to follow the will of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the denial of self, not really loving our lives unto death, but taking up the cross and willing to be crucified with Christ, you can know God's victory in your life. Pastors are down here to pray for you, that God will help you in this hour of temptation and in this battle where Satan's forces seem to be so strong and overwhelming. And maybe they've won a round, but as we turn it over to Jesus, we'll win the battle. May the Lord be with you and cause you to constantly triumph through Jesus Christ. May you know his victory and his power over sin, over darkness, over the world, the flesh, and the devil.